me this morning, turn to Joshua chapter 17. We'll be reading verses 14 through 18. Joshua 17, 14 through 18. Joshua 17, 14 through 18. I'll read the even numbered verses. I'd like to have you read along with me on the odd numbered verses. And let's stand together as we read. And the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, What hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people, forasmuch as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto? And Joshua answered them, If thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country, and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Hittites and the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. And the children of Joseph said, The hill is not enough for us. And all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both they who are of Bethshean and her towns, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel. And Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and to Manasseh, saying, Thou art a great people, and hast great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only, but the mountain shall be thine, for it is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine, for thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong. And let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. We ask, Lord, your blessing upon the time as we hear the preaching of your word. Be with Pastor as he preaches this morning. Pray that thy Holy Spirit would work in our hearts as we hear the preaching this morning. And Lord, we do pray if there's someone here that doesn't know you as Savior, they might come to know you today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated.
This is a great passage of Scripture where the children of Israel in verse 17, or the children of Joseph out of the children of Israel, chapter 17 and verse 14 of Joshua, they spake to Joshua saying, Why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I'm a great people? For as much as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto, and the answer is very interesting as well. Joshua answered them, If thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country, and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. And the children of Joseph said, The hill's not enough for us, and all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both they who are of Bethshean and her towns, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel. And Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even unto Ephraim and to Manasseh, remember, Ephraim and Manasseh were the sons of Joseph, saying, Thou art a great people, and hast great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only, but the mountain shall be thine, for it's a wood. Thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine, for thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong. In this passage of Scripture, I believe that Joshua is looking at these people, the children of Joseph, realizing what God has done for them and how God has helped the Israelites thus far in establishing their residence, displacing, dispossessing the Canaanites and possessing the land that God had given them. Realizing that they were God's people, God's redeemed people, I believe he's saying to them in this passage, Be the people that you are. Be the people that you are. And so, as I look at this passage this morning, I really think it's important for us as Christians to be the people that we are. Let's pause for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here. We thank you for your word. I pray the Holy Spirit would minister to our hearts. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us to let our minds be focused on Thee and how your word pertains to each of us as individuals. I pray the Holy Spirit would fill me and minister to our hearts, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Be the people that you are. Be the people that you are. I don't know if I just... Am I on there, Jay? Okay. Be the people that you are. The Lord had promised, as you know, the land of Canaan to Abraham and his seed. And the Lord had promised the land of Canaan to Isaac. And the Lord had promised the land of Canaan to Jacob and his descendants, i.e. Israel. God had delivered them, as we've talked a little bit about them as they traveled, but God had delivered them from Egypt. After 400 years there, ended in cruel slavery, God delivered them, heard their cries, saw their tears. He had led them through the wilderness. God had allowed them to conquer, in this passage here, had allowed them to conquer a great portion of Canaan under the leadership of Joshua. And I'm truly amazed. I spoke at Whitcomb Tower this morning, Wednesday morning, and talked a little bit about Joshua going into Canaan. But at any rate, it's just amazing what God used Joshua and the children of Israel to do, going in there and the walls of Jericho falling down flat. Just absolutely amazing what God had used them. And they'd conquered Jericho and Ai and several other cities already in the land of Canaan when we come to this passage of Scripture here. God allowed them to conquer a great portion under Joshua's leadership. And now the offspring of Joseph come to Joshua and tell them, we have not been given enough land. We need more room. They told Joshua, we only have one portion and we're a great people. The word great meaning here, many or much, numerous, abundant, an exceeding great number. We're a great people. We have lots of room. We need lots of room. And Joshua, I think with a little bit of a play on words, turns around and says, if you are a great people, then do a great thing. In other words, be the people that you say you are. If you are what you say, act upon it and do something with it. Claim the promises of God. You're in the land of Canaan. You need more room because you're a great people. Well then, you have a great God. Do a great thing. Rely on the power of God. Go in the name of the Lord and do something for Him. And He says to them, so go cut down the woods. Amen. You're a great people. Go cut down the woods. Make room for yourselves. Conquer the people of the land, though they be giants. Though they have chariots of iron, go conquer them. Claim the land for your people. It was a land that God had given them. They're a redeemed people. You know, the land of Canaan doesn't necessarily picture entering into heaven. Entering the land of Canaan pictures redeemed people entering into the full place of blessing and promise God has for them. They were redeemed, brought out of Egypt by an outstretched arm, led through the wilderness, which we go through in the struggles of Christian living, and then go conquer what God has for you. Enjoy the blessings, the prosperity, the promises fulfilled that God has for you. I could put it this way. If you are a Christian, then do what a Christian can do. If you've been born again of the Spirit of God, go cut down the woods. Conquer the people of the land, though they be giants. Claim the land for your people. In verse 17, Joshua comes back and spake to the house of Joseph, to Ephraim and Manasseh, saying, thou art a great people and hast great power. Thou shalt not have only one lot, or one lot only, but the mountain shall be thine. It's a wood, cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine. For thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, though they be strong. I find that many times Christians, knowing they're Christians, still sit like the children of Joseph and say, I need to venture farther, but I can't. But I think this passage reminds us that we can. If you are a great people, if you have God within you, we have to repeat, like the Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Your ability is limited to the power of God. Someone said, behind the promises or the commands of God are God's omnipotence. If we are God's people, well, then let's be and do what God's people do. In the next chapter, in chapter 18, Joshua says another amazing statement to some of the people of Israel. If you look at chapter 18 and verse 1, it says, the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there. And the land was subdued before them. And there remained among the children of Israel seven tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, how long are ye slack to go possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you? Give out from among you three men for each tribe, and I'll send them, and they shall rise and go through the land and describe it according to the inheritance of them. And they'll come again to me, and they shall divide it into seven parts. Judah shall abide in their coast on the south, and the house of Joseph shall abide in their coast on the north. But notice what he says to these people after he had told the children of Joseph, you are a great people. If you're a great people, be a great people. And now he says to the rest of the children of Israel, you haven't conquered what's yours yet. It's provided for you. God promised it for you. You're his children. You have his presence. You have his power. And he says, how long are ye slack to possess the land? How long are you slack? That's, in other words, he called them slackers. Amen? God has something for you, but you're slackers if you don't go for it. And I think of that, how many times Christians know steps they ought to be taking in the Christian life, but they sit back and they say, would someone please divide up the land for me? Would someone please get me the victory for me? And I hear Joshua say, why are you slack at taking what God has for you? The Christian life is there for us to enjoy the abundant life that God promised. Jesus said, I came not that you'd have life only, but I'll have abundant life, and or have life more abundantly. And he promised you, many and me, many, many blessings, but so many times we just sit down and are slack to grab a hold of them. Blessings in prayer, blessings in victory, blessings in Bible reading, blessings in witnessing, blessings in fellowship, blessing in doing what God wants us to do. Seven tribes still waiting for land to claim as their own. And Joshua says, how long are you slack to possess the land? The word slack is interesting. It's translated in other places, feeble, weakened, idle, faint, cease. And the idea is of the word is to sink down, to relax, to sink down or shrink, to drop, to be disheartened. In talking with people, helping them apply principles of Christian living, oftentimes when people come to talk to me, it's because they're in a difficult situation. And it really almost always comes down to basic principles of Christian living that people are slack in doing. We've got the land. We have the Lord. We have the promises, and they're personal. But yet we're oftentimes slack to go get what God has for us. Joshua is telling them, the seven tribes here, after he talked with the children of Joseph, he's saying, the promise is for you. The power is in your hands. Several years ago, a man told me that he was interested in a certain lady. And I asked him if he had spoken to her yet. He said, no. In so many words, I said, you're a slacker. Finally, he did. And they ended up getting married. Amen? He just had to speak up for what he desired. I don't think we have the power to command blessings, but I do believe we have the power to claim promises. And when we claim promises, God then gives us his blessings. They're there for us. Dr. John R. Rice mentioned in the book that he wrote on prayer that he had dreamed about a big room up in heaven filled with many things. And he dreamed, in a dream that he'd had, and he wasn't speaking out of inspiration. But he mentioned how that he asked, what's this room with all these wonderful things? And the answer, these are things that I have for my people that they haven't asked for. This morning, I want you to consider the promises that God has for you that he says, don't slack in going for them. Be who you are. Go for it. Don't slack. After Saul's death, years later, David had become king over Judah, but not king over all of Israel. Remember, he ruled 7 years from Hebron, then he went up to Jerusalem and ruled for 33 years. And so after Saul's death, David had become king over Judah, just the southern portion, not king over all Israel. So finally, Abner, the captain of the army of Israel, the northern part, called the men together. And he asked this question. The Bible says Abner had communicated a communication with the elders of Israel saying, you sought for David in time past to be king over you. Now then do it. For the Lord hath spoken of David, saying, by the hand of my servant David, I'll save my people Israel out of the hand of the Philistines and out of the hand of all their enemies. But I love that phrase, now then do it. So many times we wallow in the mire of personal discouragement when promises are in front of us and we don't claim them. And I would repeat, as Abner said, now then do it. Amen? Just do it. Daniel made this following statement. The Bible says, and as such as do wickedly against the covenant, shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. The word do exploits, fashioned to accomplish, to work, to produce, to act with an effect. They that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Be who you are. You're a Christian. You're a child of the King. We belong to God. We've been saved from sin and hell. We have a new life. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the land of promise for us to know, to enjoy, to experience in the Christian life. But many are still sitting and say, why don't you divide some land for me? And he says, how long are you going to be slack? Abner says, now then, do it. Daniel says, they that know God will do exploits. Be who you are. The time suffices us to have lived in the past, in the world, before we got saved. But now that we're saved, it's time that Christians continually rise up above the flesh and do the things that God wants them to do. We don't have an excuse. My dad used to say that an excuse was nothing but an onion skin of a reason packed with a lie. Joseph says, Joshua says, their excuse is just, you're slackers. Paul wrote to the Corinthian people, 1 Corinthians, and he made a statement similar along the lines. He said this, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men. Be strong. Quit you like men. The word quit you like men is the idea of make a man or be brave as a man. Show yourself a man. Quit you like men. You know, here's the Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthian people saying, stand up and be a man and take what God has for you. Go forward in the Christian life. One of the problems is that we do what we want to do. And we want others to do for us what we should do for ourselves. The Bible says for us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. To work out is the idea of bring out what is there. As if you had a mine with some type of silver ore, some type of ore in it, it doesn't just pop up and become what you need. You have to get in and dig it out and bring it out. If you have a field, good soil, it will not bring a wonderful crop unless you plant it. You take care of it and cultivate it, and then it will bring forth that crop. You work it out of the potential that's there. And the Bible tells us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, we're to take what we have and we're to be the people that we are as Christians. To bring it out. To have the victory. To have the joy. To have the overcoming power. To conquer things. Even if the Canaanites have chariots of iron. People say, boy, this is just too tough. You don't know what I'm facing. Chariots of iron, perhaps? And Joshua said, you're strong. If you are a great people, be a great people. If you are God's people, do what God has for you. If you want David to be king, now then do it. Some will do wickedly, but they that know their God will be strong and do exploits. Quit you like men. Make a man of yourself and show yourself a man and be brave. And by the way, I'm not afraid to say we ought to be men and women for the Lord. Amen? I was teaching in Sunday school this morning. This is an aside, a true aside. But at any rate, teaching Sunday school about we are mankind, right? How many of you believe you're part of mankind? All right? Okay. And the Prime Minister of Canada had made a statement to someone who classified people as mankind, and he said, we should say we're people kind. And the thought that came to my mind was what my dad used to say as an outsider, what do you think of the human race, right? We're mankind, men and women, that need to rise up and say, God belongs to me, I belong to him, the promises he's given are for me, and I'm going to claim them in his power, in my life, and have the victory. Quit you like men. Be strong. You know, the Bible never tells you to be discouraged. Sometimes people think that's a spiritual exploit. I'm discouraged. We've all been there, right? But it's almost like it's a badge of honor. You know, I'm really down. Okay, what verse are you basing that on? The Bible never tells us to do that. It says to be strong. It tells us to be courageous. It tells us to quit you like men. Be strong. Stand fast in the faith. God tells us to rise above the flesh. Paul wrote to the Christians at Rome, many of whom were facing great trials. And he said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long, we're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. More than conquerors. Children of Joseph said, we're great people, but we just don't have enough room. Well, if you are great, do a great thing. And the seven tribes said, you know what? Well, somebody's got to divide the land for us. And he said, how long are you going to be slack? Go get it. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I would encourage Christians to get up from the downside and get on God's side and stand up and just say, you know what? God has great things for me. I'm going forward. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to claim them. I'm going to experience what God has for me. It's amazing how many people are duped into seeking to experience things that God doesn't want for them. But what we need to be is a people that will become on fire with the thought, I have a land in front of me that God has given to me, and he said I can conquer it with his power, and I'm going to go forward for his honor and for his glory. The Apostle Paul wrote the church at Philippi and said, we know this verse, I already quoted it, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And the way I look at that verse, in its context, he says, I can do without, I can experience blessings or have abundance. I've learned whatever state I'm in, whatever circumstance I'm in, to be content. Then he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. In other words, I can thrive and survive in any circumstance through Christ. Blessings, burdens, wonderful times, hard times, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. To the early Christians facing many false spirits, John wrote this, you're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Whatever we face, God has given us the means within his power and based on his promises to conquer it. I can do all things through Christ. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. What a wonderful promise, as we taught in our Sunday school class on angels and, of course, the fallen angels and the leader of the fallen angels, Lucifer. One of the verses that we ended with was, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I don't have anything to be afraid of because I have Christ. I have the Holy Spirit. Okay, I'm not a demon chaser or a demon rebuker or a Satan rebuker. I'm a Satan resister through the power of the Holy Spirit. And greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So don't be a slacker. Amen? To the young preacher Timothy, Paul, the seasoned preacher, wrote these words. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know, young Timothy was going to face a lot of obstacles, Paul had, in the ministry. And as Christians seeking to encourage others in the Lord, we'll face a lot of obstacles. Maybe family, maybe friends, maybe work situations. But it's still a land in front of us that we can conquer. And God says this, He has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Be the people that you are. Because of the sure resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the grave, our faith is not in vain. We stand in victory. And the Apostle Paul wrote this, Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He giveth us the victory. Not we just have the victory, we get the victory. We have received the victory over sin, hell, and death. We have. We're going to one day rule and reign with Christ. Trumpet sounds, we're going to be caught up together with Him. Dead in Christ shall rise first, we which are alive and remain. Shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's victory, right? But that's looking for the future victory. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. Like He giveth the Israelites the land, but they weren't to be slack, they needed to go conquer it in His power. They couldn't wait for someone else to give it to them. If they realized who they were, they needed to do what they ought to do based on who they were. And we as Christians have to say, you know what? I have God. I have His promises. And He gives me the victory. Giveth the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not just gave it. He gives it. So is there something that you personally are struggling with? Please don't be a slacker. Say, if I go to talk to Pastor Whitman and talk about a problem I'm having trouble with, is he going to call me a slacker? No. I'm going to share principles for you to engage and then hope you're not a slacker. Are we Christians? How many of you here this morning say, I am a born-again Christian? Would you raise your hand up good and high? Amen. I know I've trusted Christ as my Savior. I'm a Christian. That means we're God's. So be what we are. The songwriter said, I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. With Jesus my Savior, I am a child of the King. We're Christians. Let me ask you a question. How many of you believe that the Holy Spirit dwells within you as a saved person? Would you raise your hand? Okay. He does. The moment that you asked Jesus Christ to save you, the Holy Spirit baptized you into the body of Christ, sealed you as His forever, and will empower you to conquer the portion of Canaan that is yours. And if it has trees, He'll help you cut them down. Has God given us commands and promises? You know, we're not told to go into the land of Canaan. I don't think I really want to be in that portion of the world in this day. You know what I mean? People have asked me, do I ever want to see Israel? I'd love to see Israel. I think I'll wait till the millennium, though. Okay? And I won't be worried about people taking pot shots at me. And I'll see it then with Jesus. And I'll have full understanding. God hasn't promised me the land of Canaan, but He's given me many, many promises. And you. And it's a matter of us individually looking at those promises and saying, like the songwriter said, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. We have to look at God's word and say, you know what? This is for me. Someone told me years ago, I haven't done it in this Bible. I did it in one of my older Bibles. Right at the very beginning, Genesis 1:1 put, Dear Jim. And at the end of Revelation 22:21 put, Love Jesus. And the promises in the Word of God that pertain to you or apply to you, the principles that apply, they're yours, and you got to claim them. Say, Pastor, I'm just really struggling. Don't promote that idea. Say, I'm going to have victory. There's iron in front of me, but by the grace of God, I'm a great people because I belong to the Lord, and by His great strength, I can have victory, and I will, by the grace of God. There is nothing that you cannot overcome as a child of God with His power. I'd ask, are there opportunities in front of us? Apostle Paul wrote, and he said that there were an open door, but many adversaries. We have an open door in front of us. We have opportunities in front of us. But what keeps us from walking through the door of opportunity often is fear of failure. I used to have a tremendous fear of failure as a younger person. I told you about never wanting to do the book report, stand in front of. I mean, I had a fear of that. It's terrible. And I'd just soon fail and let everybody see me. You know. No, I'm kidding. I had a fear of failure. But you know what? There's a new resource in my heart. It's the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit that tells me He will give me grace and strength and power to do what I need to do. Amen. And if there's opportunities in front of us, if it's an open door, go through it. You know, God parts the River Jordan, and somebody stands back and says, boy, I just really don't know if that applies to me. You better hot foot across there, amen? And God has opened doors in front of you. Take them. I had the opportunity the other night. I was sitting next to a gentleman I'd watched my granddaughter's basketball game, and then I was sitting there talking to a gentleman there, and I was going to leave. I introduced myself. We talked for a few minutes, and then I said, you know, this guy needs a tract, which I happen to have in my pocket. And I said, you know what, here's a little gospel tract. I put my name, phone number on it, and I said, if you ever need anything, please give me a call. You know what, I'm waiting for the phone call, amen? Like when I gave that tract to the lady in the hospital several years ago, she was there with a little baby. I was there late in the night with someone, I won't tell the circumstances, but I was there late at night with somebody, and this lady was sitting in the waiting room with a little baby sick. The baby was so sick, and I thought, I'm thirsty, I'm going to buy me an orange juice. And the Lord said, you got an extra dollar there, you could buy that lady an orange juice too, couldn't you? And I said, yeah, I guess I could. It means I won't go get a hamburger, doesn't it? But no, not really. I didn't say that. But so, or a milkshake at the hospital. If you've ever been to the hospital, you get a milkshake. Oh man, the best in the county. But anyway, and so, how did I get off on that? Somebody must be hungry. Go for it, amen? Don't be a slacker. So anyway, I said, you know what, I'm getting an orange juice. And I looked over at that lady and I said, boys, I went and bought her one, gave it to her, gave her a tract, said, if you ever need something, give me a call, put my cell phone number on there. And just a couple weeks later, I was driving down 94, as 94 takes this bend right here and starts heading south at exit 23 and 22. And I was making that, rounding that bend, and I got a phone call, and it said, this is so-and-so, do you remember me? And I said, yes, I do. She said, well, I wanted you to know that I read what you gave me, and I've asked Jesus into my heart. Amen. Amen. I wished I could have stopped right there on the corner of that highway and jumped out and shouted, you know. God has these things for us. But when the doors are open, the opportunity, we got to walk through them. It's not hard to walk through them. He's with us, and He wants us to experience. Are there challenges in front of us? Yeah, iron chariots, that's quite a challenge, amen? Some people here, I think of Barb, you know, just lost her sister. They're very, very close. She's here this morning. They're back in junior church this morning. But you know, that's a hard thing. That's a challenge. You know that. I talking with her, I said, you know, Barb, here I go now. I said, you know, Barb, it was a long time before I could talk about my parents without crying. These are challenges in life that we experience. But you know what? Quit you like men. Be strong, amen. Go on through tears to victory with the Lord Jesus Christ on your side. You have challenges in front of you. Some of you have challenges that perhaps nobody else knows about. But I want to tell you, they're there for you to conquer. Do we experience setbacks and discouraging circumstances? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. But we don't have to crumble under them. They're trees that Joshua says, cut down the trees. I was in a difficult circumstance a few years ago, walked into Baber's Marathon, where now Walgreens is at the corner of John Beers and Cleveland. And it was just some tough circumstances. And I walked in there, and she says, how are you today? And I wanted to say, I am miserable. But I knew I really shouldn't say that. And I said, you know what? I said, I'm facing some tough circumstances, but in reality, I'm having a good day because the Lord's helping me. Amen? And God doesn't say that you're going to walk into the land and not have obstacles and difficulties. He's just saying you can conquer what's in front of you by His power, by His grace, if you'll look to Him. Sometimes we experience setbacks where we come short. God says, lift up the feeble knees, go forward, Hebrews chapter 12. Some people come along and say, you know what, you haven't really experienced all of the Holy Spirit yet till you've done this or that. You have the whole Holy Spirit. You just need to let Him have the whole you. I can hear Joshua say to us today, if he could speak to us out of the portals of heaven, he'd say, if you be a great people, if you be God's people, get thee up to the wood country and cut down for thyself there. Thou art a great people. Thou hast great power. How long are you slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you? Rise up, quit you like men, be strong. So let's not sit on the outside of the ballpark longing to play. Let's get involved in the game. Let's not just sit and admire what God has done in and through others. Let's go up to the wood country and cut down for ourselves. The mission of the Christian is set upon our laps just as it was the early Christians, but we have to seize the opportunities today. Let's not be content to hear how God has blessed other families. Oh my, isn't it wonderful what God has done for them? Yes, it is, but it's wonderful what God wants to do for you. We seem to marvel in the testimonies of others and wallow in the discouraging circumstances of ourselves. But we can have the testimony of victory, of strength. Let's not be content to hear how God has blessed others. Let's experience those blessings ourselves. Get involved in family devotions. Don't just read about others that have. Claim the land God has set before us. If thou be a great people, do the great thing. James says this, you have not, fill in the rest. You know it. You have not because you ask not. God has great things for us. What great promises are there, yet I must claim them to make them mine. what blessings are in store for me, but I must ask to receive them. What victories are mine in Christ, so I must rest in His power and experience them. What opportunities lie before me, but I must walk through the open doors. What a name I have as a child of God, so I'll stand and claim my inheritance in Christ today. What we do reflects what we are. So let's make sure what we are controls what we do. If thou be a great people, let's be the people we are. And let's pause for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to proclaim your word today. And dear Lord, may we be encouraged to go forward and claim what you have for us and experience the victories that are ours in Christ in our daily walk. Heavenly Father, if there's someone here really struggling, I pray the Holy Spirit would give them the faith based on your word to rise up and go forward. And Father, if there's someone here that has not claimed the salvation that you offer in Christ, may they do that today and start there. Work in our lives, Father, for your honor and glory. We realize these blessings are there for us that we might glorify you. So help us to complete that, to trust you. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. I wonder who'd say, you know, Pastor, I really have been struggling about claiming some things in my life, but by the grace of God, I'm going to take the admonition. Since I am a great people, I belong to the Lord. That's what makes it great. I'm going to rise up and be, by the grace of God, what I am in Christ, by His strength. That's me, preacher. I'm going to take advantage of what God has for me. Would you raise your hand this morning? Amen. I don't know what area you're thinking of, but it applies. It applies. Claim the promises. Claim the power. Rise up and go forward. I wonder who'd say, preacher, I'm really struggling with something specific. But by the grace of God, I'm going to take these things that you've shared this morning. Ponder them. And in His strength, by His grace, I'm going to rise above them and conquer that land in front of me for His glory. Pray for me. Who'd slip up their hand today? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Amen. In just a moment, we'll stand and sing. Maybe you need to come and pray. Nobody's going to be saying, oh, I wonder why that person came and prayed. Maybe you ought to just come and say, Lord, I'm turning this over to you by your grace with your strength. Maybe there's someone that you know that's really struggling and you just want to come and pray for them, be that positive influence in their life in prayer for them. I'd encourage you to do that. If you're not sure you're saved, I want you to come this morning and make sure once and for all forever. Shall we stand together, please? Father, bless this invitation, we pray, for your honor and glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Number 390, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior.
normally come to Sunday school, come next Sunday, all right? Especially ladies really have a good time in that ladies' breakaway class. Guys have a better time, but we encourage the ladies to come for that. It's a nice little breakaway time, and just something we do every 3 or 4 or 5 months or so, however. And every once in a while we do it. We want you to come be a part, but be early next Sunday morning. We'll start it, Lord willing, at 9:15 for our Sunday school class. So keep that in mind, and Lord willing, we'll see you here tonight. Amen? All right, let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your love and blessing. And Lord, we thank you for the eternal victory that we have in Christ. Now help us to experience the temporal victories that you want us to have. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a great day.